no longer allowed to say that my bones are bad because I would be fined by first 10 euro every time I say that my bones are bad. So I'm not going to do that anymore. this is called the echoing pulse. The deep surrounding sky is hardened by the endless spiral of pain and forsaken thought. Remorse of disbelief. The raven claw of your broken dreams turned by you into the deeper impression of being. This is the cool dew tears dripping down snowdrop cheeks of society's harsh slumber and open to the desolate by a material sea. From lost thoughts and scarlet dreams of the forsaken realms of labyrinth dreams. Only after shattered thought, distraught by static instruments broke and fall, and all competing for destitute meaning, is something conflictual as the silver light strewn upon the storied mind, random in the early morn, a barren landscape of images, advertising the cryptic, intricate life you must fulfill in this age of the material sea, acting upon the conscious, with lust for something, anything, brings failure and quench the thirst of your sunken stare into the oblivion of constant thought, the echoing thought.
Thank you, Bernard. Next up we have Ms. Abra Dwyer.
Gleaning, not to be confused with cleaning or gleaning. Gleaning. Another apology. Is it worth anything now? The hope in it. I'm tired of excuses at my liver. Another slice of toast burnt black won't help matters. So just a fraction of a worry to the wailing and the cough from the next room. Too late for regrets and such now. There's time only to glean what you can each day from the life you chose or fell into. Hard to remember which anymore. When I've left for work, a fresh cup of tea, a chapter, maybe two, of Daniel Steele. If you're really lucky, a moment, almost a slight piece, to apply a little foundation for the day. The mirror's glances made a little more bearable so.
Thinking you can never know again
at all, just let me know. Sincerely, me, age 23. P.S. Happy birthday. Do try. Aging men in their shitty bedsits and dark and dank upstairs flats, even right now, are lifting the full weight of emptiness that eases itself onto life's meaning, bit by little bit, in fatigued hands raising up love, their tea already drained. Not taking so much as sighing these days, the hands of their clocks jadedly make their way around, the temptation to pack it all in, this time for good, never so clear. In these times, like the good times gone by now, they've always understood each other.
Monologue about what we've seen.
Beep. When the new Nokia or shit like this my text. She was tall with long legs up to her shoulders, golden crinkly hair that waved as if in the cold, unforgiving wind. She had a leafy green felt hat with a red cloth flower on the front, black bony tights, high heels, shiny, that made clip-clop noises everywhere she walked. She had a big red duffel coat and a big yellow umbrella. The delivery man wandered by with a flash of luminous yellow. A hand squeaked while my hand freezed in observation. A boy dressed as a large woman with warm, beautiful, caring hugs that made me feel small and supportive. Pink and white woolen pom-pom hats, bottles with teeth. Let's have a Beamish, a true genuine Irish stout. Clack, clack, clack of the trolley wheels on the stage, on the railway shaped part of the pavement. The reflection of Betty Boots on the buckle of her brand new Louis Vuitton leather handbag that she must have bought from Meadows Brian Formstone. Although a new home on the same day, founded in 1869, first foremost then active. It seems a little confusing, that's what it's about. It's about taking normal everyday events and creating a story and painting a picture into the world. Find your nearest Volvo dealer and everything will fall into place. Metal erections, raving tables, clink, clunk, multicolored umbrellas and warnings. A man with a gingery grey beard having his morning toxic generation. Thick brown smoke clogging his arteries. Let's have a supersized pizza and a diet coke. Let's leave enough out of Santa Claus. Looking cool with this steamy conversation and the shade.
There was another exercise that we had to do, and this was the one that we needed to overcome writer's block, and we had to take an object that you saw outside, and you had to take an object that you saw inside, then you had to take a news article from the newspaper, and a news article from the internet or from the TV. So I chose with and the warm, shiny teapot is steaming. The warm teapot is reflecting my image. I want to taste a good drink. I want to taste life at its best. Let the incense inspire my thoughts. Let the incense remind me of home. Tuesday night, flurry of colour and moving. Let's call the circus Tuesday night, a flurry of colour and moving images. Costumes sparkle. All ages, cultures, backgrounds and creeds come and share this collective experience. Practice is essential. Poise still, clear some hoops. Juggle all you can. Unicycle, chaos. A sweaty warm-up for the fittest and fattest. Click, clock, spinning colour of the devil with his stick. The contact crystal falls. Hypnotic, you read my fortune. A relaxed flow of hippies, executives and all caretakers. Hear the sumptuous of activity. The music of the nutcracker encapsulates the mood. Everyone's alone, we are all together. A master, exchange, and cosmic substance. The intangible attains again. 8 o'clock comes ever too soon. Time to go. Always too little time to perfect the one beautiful skill. Let's talk and have the green tea, the sun barriers. Dreadlocks and colour. Dreadlock colour and teapot make up our mysterious table. The bar staff always happy to clean and serve. Congress.
Then there's Mary Harney in the Department of Health,
quickly transforming it into the Department of Wealth. She's creating private clinics, and if you cannot pay, I'm sorry, boy, not today, not for the PBIT other people's way. And by the way, how much does private medicine pay operation for profit? Somebody please stop it. And please do not get me started on the media. I'm still waiting for them to feed you an intelligent line, a coherent exposition of society's crime, but all we get are cynical cliche lines and Joe Duffy's sympathetic ears, while the opposition have reduced political discourse to tears. The investigative journalists on public pay, full of passion, push without an intelligent thing to say, full of indignation, but not quite sure why. We just get the minister on the line. What's the matter? The same second question five times. Put it to the minister. Mr. Minister, do you intend to resign? This is bullfighting without the blood. This is boxing without laying a glove. This is wrestling without even the tiniest little shove. The politicians answer counter with polite bluster, gathering all the brain cells they can muster. But to be honest, most of these guys look fairly awake. Some of them look positively sedate. Some of them are trying to look like they're on the make, when in fact, they're just wearing makeup. It's time to give these boys a fucking shake-up. There's the bright young thing at 42, quenching brain cells in the Doyle bar. The ability to drink is more important than people think. In fact, the ability to drink is sometimes more important than the ability to think if you want to ascend Ireland's political ladder. And be careful not to slander or talk about your cocaine use. This thing gets sadder and sadder. Will our politicians just keep getting badder and badder? And will the civil service keep cleaning up the mess? The guys who are paid not to care about the ordinary person's distress, paid not to care about ordinary misery, paid to offload responsibility to a corporate company for a significant, but of course reasonable, fee. And we're all culpable in this to a degree. We've elected these fools. One, two, three. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. But fool me three times, shame for these times.
Terrible fear, the pain that was placed in the innocence before she was taken from our world. truly given up to the real world and given life to that. I'd waited in a painstaking 2 years in a crippled state. Days passing, time stopped, waiting, waiting. My heart split in two as you took your life. My heart was lost. And I was lost. You were my love, my life, my everything. A grief-stricken soul slowly died. We were meant to go together. And now, here you are, my angel of light, holding that tumor and up. At last, these heavy eyes fall, the shattered body eases, and my heart becomes whole again, as I take your hand and finally take that last step home.
Disease that caused overspenditis and
I normally get pitched with it when I go shopping with my wife. And when she goes into Tesco and then what is commonly known as Rory Gallagher Plaza. And I just can't stand going in with her, watching the dear lady spending money we don't fucking have. So I tend to stand outside and just watch cock float by. So a few years ago I was in this particular position, suffering from my expense crisis. And I found myself looking across the plaza and a little busy that cock onions would know as the gingerbread house. And there was a big table outside it. It seems to have disappeared now in the last few years. But there was a big table outside it and it was occupied by perhaps 6 or 7 different characters, all in intense conversation. And I never once got to sit at that table because maybe you had to be into a sort of a clique or something, or a covenant of philosophers to get to sit there. But I just watched them, and every time I leave the town, I would always make a point of walking through Rory Gallagher Plaza just to get a look at these people. And they always seem to be the same people who were there. So I wrote this called Gingerbread. Pouring over an American cappuccino at the broad-out table, every day doing nothing, only watching the endless procession of people passing by. All within a table's length, I read the tired faces of the shoppers and the disengaged expressions as they wander through Paul Street Plaza, not sure where they are exactly going. I sit at the broad table outside the gingerbread house, trying to make a small cup of cappuccino last the length of 3 or 4 cups. The plaza itself is a hive of bees, shopping bees, all buzzing together, as if everyone decides to converge in the Paul Street Square all at the same time. If only they knew just how ridiculous some of them look, that I don't know who's worse, the young people acting the jib, or the grey-haired ones with their plastic bags of Argus and buggies. Always buggies. There are little wheels rotating in opposite directions on the uneven cobblestones. I await Miguel, who is late. Miguel Segarra has been living in Cork nearly 2 years. I first met him in the plaza when he wanted to know where he might buy a padlock for his bicycle. His English was not good, and when I directed him to the tool store on Oliver Plunkett Street, he returned a blank stare and simply uttered the words, "Main Street! Main Street!" I took him by the arm across Patrick Street, and upon reaching the junction through Marlborough Street, left him to it. I thought no more of it and returned to the big table outside the gingerbread hut. So I was surprised when this character presently returned, complete with new padlock. He nodded affirmation in my direction before disappearing inside the cafe. The second surprise was his approaching the big table with a friendly smile and the 2 cups of coffee. He sat down, offered a large soft hand for such a short, stout man, and said, "Miguel, Miguel, España." The big table is a platter of sometimes mind-boggling conversation. Its stimulus helped along, no doubt, by the very characters who occupy its breadth. I have sat here on countless occasions talking nonsense and hyperbole for hours, with some of the most interesting people one could ever hope to encounter. And usually I have done this while keeping one eye on my single cappuccino and the other eye on the people traffic that passed by, oblivious to me and my table of friends, never knowing what it is we are on about, the grammar of life and lifetime questions, like whether it is safe to park a bicycle overnight tied to a tree, the best stall in the English market to get whiting on a Friday morning, or for that matter, whether or not Bin Laden is still alive, or are Al Jazeera TV using virtual reality footage of him. These would appear to be the important matters of the world when one comes to sit at a big table. That and the fact that Big Jimmy, with the long hair, who collects used up phone cards, was seen getting sick outside the bookshop in French Church Street. I had gotten to know Miguel a few weeks when, one afternoon, he displayed what I can only describe as an act of sheer individual eccentricism. In other words,
We at the table had thought he had gone quite mad. Miguel had been in the habit of padlocking his faithful drop handle about Toro's bicycle to a nearby tree in the plaza, where one assumed it was quite safe. But on this particular day, the incident arose when I spotted him approaching our table with the front wheel of the bike under his arm. He arrived, gave us the usual friendly nod, and proceeded to take a second padlock from the shoulder bag before securing a small chain around the wheel, locking it to the leg of the table. Nobody spoke, but all eyes looked at each other upon this ritual. Miguel sat down, rubbed his large, soft hands together, saying, "Now it's safe." He stayed for half an hour, whereby he disengaged the wheel from the table, returned to his bicycle, and unlocking the padlock, refitted the wheel to the frame. No sooner had he cycled out of the plaza when Toby, the English miser and divorcee, declared, "It doesn't make fucking sense. Why chain the bike to a tree and then take off the wheel and chain that to the table?" An intense discussion on world safety matters ensued, and this only tailed off when the guards arrived to arrest the shoplifter from Tesco's. A large gaggle of the public gathered to witness the incident as our discussion on world safety and Sellafield fell away. It was Captain Marvel who was being taken into custody, fresh out of rehab, and whom I knew to be sleeping rough. Miguel, it seemed, was fast becoming something of a talking point. Despite the fact his command of English had improved, he rarely, if ever, took a lead in any of the conversations. But one afternoon, he succeeded in shocking even Daniel, the hypersensitive German, when Miguel suddenly added spice to an argument about the stupidity and futility of football by telling us that his grandfather, Juan Segarra, had captained Barcelona. There was silence at the table. The only one who remained totally unmoved by the announcement was our table companion, Farid, from Lebanon, who, in truth, wouldn't have batted as much as an eyelid had Miguel informed us that he was a second Christ. Fakim, who sat at our table almost every day, his sole interest was what could be bought cheap on eBay and the progression of his Islamic studies in Wilton. I looked across the table at Miguel and made a mental note to inquire into the veracity of his claim, the result of which I shall make known to readers of Where's Me Culture in the next issue.
Tramping like a train, how can I come to be at home outside of my own body? And then there are many who are on the take and some were only capable of taking breaks. Crafts and hot stuff were heard in this present sense. Tense by snuffle and shuffle, I remember ups and downs and muffles. There must be some crying, myself in anticipation lying. And the golden girls and magic free passes, opening and letting individuals through. This is the truth. Freedom from tiresome, awful competition. Breathing is cleansing and relaxation flows up to my head. Others left to scramble and grasp this time. Carrying on, I'm trying. The stars are still shining. Fluxation and consolidation, everything changes and everything stays the same, even you. They build concrete now, tall and sharp and proud, hard and heavy, heaving and headlong, pumping. Bastions with long corridors waiting for commands and commanders. Many trying it on. Only time will tell of their longevity. Microsecond images, fast copy, call, hustle. Regurgitation, chop, swap, next on. Stop for an instant, stop subordination. Let sense and have tense perchance we know they labour away long and live in darkness. And a fool can smell. And the land, the soil at my feet, the teeth is neat, layer upon layer, intact in fact, an encyclopedic chart, penances having been ground into it, canting and wailing and pining passed on through generations. History here is the gruff, brutish type with a big hang-up. Later on, when all the talking is done, O country, who will have won? Can I presume and be crass one way or the other in gazes we have studied? The picture of our faces obtain no special thing, cure no pain. Our sisters and brothers are amused, but only involved in buying. Dangling chandelier dinners and sparkling spinners, pandering pianos, riddled with punctures, super glue connecting moments in a tedious quadratic dimension, lengths of string and plenty party things, vengeance and malignance on people's minds, your consenting constantly deliberate negativity, the epoch is all a spell. Good night, no more be held. The next one is gloriously shorter, so it kind of has a different flow to it altogether. It's actually not titled. Graying ampules dispense filthy colours into grey. The feeling of autumn persisting as the warmer days run away. The sun is so more stillborn, not managing to reach the level of a ray. Dustiness, the accumulation of skin used and deposited. There is another more poignant accumulation in heat, a more considerable dustiness of memory. Reclaiming moments of a more formative time changes into composition. Resolution and the very personal incentive now is retranslated and recovered, but now into subjective history. The way we spent our days, germinated in classrooms, ready for some manner of adult life, the competition and the role play through a few resisting, most following in a way laid out by others who had gone before, into the pattern expected, identity shown, evaluated. And in the social sphere, the elegant and the duly prophesied entered into top gear, yet another confrontation, the post-school progress and achievement as expected for the greater measure to some, but only for those who are inspired by the system. And so a time slot of a life examined, how much use is language with clarity abandoned. Each man and woman born defending their own record with words to legitimize their every activity in partitioned utility. Then back to the daily grind, monochrome souls, outwardly florid, conflicted and torrid.
Next up to the mic, could we please call Mr. Lyle Perry.
you, Mother, set the princess kiss and love on your arm. Near the end, you were fed hot milk and love in return. You guided this toddler, protecting from all harm. Your delight in this step tinged with sad concern. Through all the squalls of this growing child, your mother was the one who nurtured tender life. You had wise words to protect her from the wild, but had no shield for vicious schoolyard strife. Teen years raging full of hormones, moods, and spots, making life a torment for everyone around. Rebel, with or without cause, this youngster's life is not. While the mire's climbing walls, turn down the slip and sound. A nice safe job in the bank, a house in the suburbs too, a maternal word in the ear. Sure wouldn't that be grand? But for me it was work to travel, and the thing was bruised just bruised. Some racial generational thing, like a drink for Ireland. But no disappointment, Mother, that I didn't make the grade, in career or in marriage. Too dramatic to call it tragic. To misquote John Lennon, while our family relays, life is what happens. And aren't your grandkids magic? Many things I'd like to say, and I feel it's not too late. What really matters, Mother, is the love that stays, in death as well as life. I feel it, and reciprocate. You went gently into the night, but your imprint will not fade. I'm looking for a tune, really. Song for Pueblo Blanco, the white village. There's drinkers and thinkers, and herders of goats, there's healers and dealers, and venters and poets. Quiet men with mule trains, youths on loud bikes, old ladies in black, school kids in mics. There's tapas and che in the communist bar. You won't be the locust, concrete's not far. And it goes through the hills, past cars and sharp bends, chase adrenaline thrills where the road ends. The folk of all shades, brown, black, pink, and fire, villas and olive groves, cathedral bums, this side. White streets at all angles, cool shades of the siesta, girls in fancy dresses make the most of the siesta. There's the odd poco loco, but harmless enough, holding loud conversations with themselves off the cuff. There's dreamers and schemers, how to make a euro. The time warp showing between Banco and Buro. That artist and builder, musician Campesino. Whole families out late for orange and vino. The pippies and dippies, Pachero and Geary. A few wild looking women and men who look weary. There's homage to the Moors in the form of the town arch, and also to the heroine who stopped their march. The steep white genial town in Arabic means little fort. And on a fine rising street, that old house there was. Fall and Rise of Murphy, being a scurrilous but totally fictional account of the adventure of a young buck about town, who suffers a loss of vigor and other misfortune. Ramsalon Tana, Alcapoxin E. Murphy and the group, frustrated by the lead. Now it's called ED. Just take a little pill. Not to worry by, the Agrabil. An end to deflation. Tooth the culture by, he gives the girl the world. Rogers like our Roy. He peoples the Republic. Murphy is on a spree. Boris Babi in New York, in Cork, LBC. Soon the Pfizer riser won't be made in Cork. Cheaper in Hong Kong, ordered from South Fork. A little health warning, safe sex is the thing. Should have worn protection, what is ding-a-ling? Mary Harney fixed him in her private clinic. But don't throw it all away, never mind the clinic. Murphius was here, crammed along the lead. Father of the nation, it's an industry.
And next up, we have gentlemen.
Another promotion in next week, Cap 7. If you haven't had a copy when you
This book is called Making Cocoa for Kingsley Amos, and I looked for the poem with the same title, and I loved it. It's really, it's funny that the whole book is called after this poem, so you'll see why. Making Cocoa for Kingsley Amos. It was a dream I had last week, and some kind of record seemed vital. I knew it wouldn't be much of a poem, but I loved the title. It is a chase for good graces that have me plunging for the male ending. Daddy gods make themselves known and I don't know. I don't exist or resist. It's with my longing again. This sin is infinite in sin and my greed for recognition never ending. I'm sending all the wrongs welcomed and this kiss I'm bound to have will have me, I'm sure, trapped by my taste for pomposity and compulsion.
So swift he arrives, no sonar sing deep, no forewarning leap, small surface fish head from Gannett's high dive. No sub-aqua coach yet must stay alive, so breathless she'd keep, and spring her wild leap, pelagic shoal spread from Gannett's high stride. Wingspan in two tone, on deep prey he'll thrive. Seahorses paint feet, crustaceans count sheep, we can be sure some fat fish will survive. End of the line, of course, date number 5, see countless silver sea harvests to eat, we can be certain our fish will survive. No salsa, quick step, no twist, rock or jive, no dancing in line with crabs who side creep, all surface fish fled, began it by dive. Who can ensure ample fish will survive? I am the trailing edge, a mooring hole gate, polished in olden times by painter of hemp, from longboat or cutter of windship or steamer. Early endeavors close by to pierce the flint-like facade, wisdom untrue, be well alone. Overarching, storm-filled, and undead tree lies swart. Treasure, to veil it from coastal erosion or moral attrition, glut of high and mighty pontoons. In waves of heat, bees mumble around, a quiff of pink blossoms on a cowering branch, yet to defy the wallop of wind, grape shot of spray. Wild growth keeps this pearl unreachable from land. Next to the shallows, his docile canoe still waits on her blade's double bite. I noticed him as I stepped over the footbridge. There he was, a few meters away from the flyover, with a half-eaten apple. He pushed at it on top of a low brick wall. Although passing close enough to catch the override scent, to detect teeth marks on bite-shaped edges, the crow paused, gazing into the middle distance past me, ignoring forbidden fruit. Pretending not to notice, since two can play that game, but watching closely out of the corner of my eye, I sauntered past. Shortly, he resumed fussing and strutting while he pecked and poked with his stubby, wet feet. In a blur of speed, he counteracted the cord as it started to roll off the wall. A right claw, a schoolboy's grey, wrinkled sock, trapped his prize as he tempted, like a practiced goalkeeper, pausing. More pecking followed while still holding on, moving off slowly. The last I saw was a horse, right leg resting on his prize, ignoring the passing fruit delivery truck. The victor relaxed again, the most feathers and ruffles in the autumn breeze. Jet black head. I suppose linguistic scholars and people who study languages would have reasons for this, and marketing gurus would always take exotic sounding names for their products. I know nothing about the reasons, I just like the sound of the words, and that's the reason. These two rings, which I'll finish. Lit Critic sped down the marina. At 60, the souped up Cortina. On blockage at stake, he tried hard to break when struck by a muse in Sestina. Convertible, cool Cabriole. I saw the topless, my Cabriole. Just wish I could wait for line number 8. She's now surely worth a triole.
Next up, could we go to the mic, Patricia Walsh.
If we could but stay staring from our former colleagues. For a small time, a small place, smell came, pervades to something the building. Yes, most of all, the beat our bodies swells our souls. If we could but triumph over beside each other, and recall the same, the terror and embarrassment there is, that beholds each other in any case, so shall be. So we should be fine, notwithstanding the challenge we must come over here. This is another one about email. I wish it was here. Tara and Imrazi now share the same house together. Next door they see that we come to no harm. I wish you were here. Even spirited, well watched, with a hidden aim in mind, even even away from ourselves. I feel antisocial, crippled, weak. I wish we granted at the wrong time. When the winners pass by and by the way of the years. There are books on the dressing table. I sent myself them. And they make a sound squeezing. It happened once but look everywhere. I wish you were here. Karen and Morazzi got by on the way to follow our life. Next door, there's no fear of going to any harm. I wish you were here, level-headed, very hard-hearted, with boys, tears, and kind of life.
Thank you. be on center mic. Could we call up Mr. Gavin Ryan?
Somewhere deep in the bowels of the here and now, a hammer strikes a chisel.